Hello and again, welcome to the Labyrinth Library Podcast. How are you doing this week? I hope you are well, of course. Me? I'm great. Classes are over, exams are over, it's more or less vacation. We still have to go in and do stuff. But it's great, I can get work done, this is amazing. I've made exams, I've planned lessons, it's only been a few days. So really, going into work is not that bad. Really, if they wanted to, I could do it from home, and I could save them the money and the expense, but that's not what they want to do, so oh well. And honestly, if I did try to do it at home, I'd probably just take a long nap and forget about it. Let's be honest with ourselves, really. Come on. But other than that, things are going well. I got some books in the mail today, which is always very cool. One is this sort of 101 little weird activities you can do to make your brain go, huh. Which is always fun. I enjoy those. Another one is a great little cosmology book by Neil deGrasse Tyson. And the third is a collection of cartoons by Tim Kreider, who's one of my favorite Bush-era cartoonists. He's such fun. But, you know, that's enough about what's going on here. Things are normal, hot and humid, but otherwise normal. So why don't we get to this week's book? It is the last podcast of the month, of course, which means it is time for the Night Watch series. And we're into book three, which is the Twilight Watch. Now, last week, I was kind of short on things like Russian trivia or Russian history trivia, so I asked you a real gimme question. Who was the Russian premier in the movie Doctor Strangelove? I thought that would be easier. I thought you go to Google, bam, there it is. But I didn't get any correct guesses this week. It was Premier Kissoff. Premier Kissoff, who likes his drink. Better luck next time, everybody. So here we are. We're into book three of the Watch series by Sergei Lukyanenko. This is the Twilight Watch. First, a few words. This review is of no relevance to the cause of the light. From the Night Watch. This review is of no relevance to the cause of the dark. From the Day Watch. So there we go, got our bureaucratic nonsense sorted out. Now, this world that we're reading about in these books, one of the things I like about it is that it is riddled with possibilities. Even though Lukyanenko has been pretty single-minded in his themes throughout the trilogy, there really is a lot to work with here. You know, we have these two distinct groups of others. We have the light and the dark, with very different character classes, powers, abilities, levels, ambitions. If anybody wanted to write fan fiction or even a role-playing game based on the world of the Night Watch series, they would be able to let their imaginations roam free. It's an open-ended universe which is rife with possibility. So my question then, if this is true, why isn't it as popular worldwide as, say, Harry Potter? Well, probably because it's more grown up than the Potter series and therefore less attractive to a wide audience. I mean, don't get me wrong. I liked Harry Potter. I enjoyed it very much. But for all of its merits, it deals with the very human-level issues, friendship, family, duty, loyalty. And all of these are well and good. And many, many a great story has been told from these elements. But the Night Watch series deals with harder, less everyday topics, such as the nature of freedom and the fundamental differences between good and evil, if there is any difference at all. I know the Potter books touch on things like this, but the themes in these books are headier, and it's not as easy to look at a light other like Anton Gorodetsky and say, ooh, I want to be like him. It's also very hard to look at a dark other like the vampire Kostya and say, ooh, I hate him. Which is unlike Harry Potter, where you can look at a bad guy and you can say, that's a bad guy and I hate him. Look at a good guy, say, that's a good guy and I like him. You know, your mileage may vary, of course. But in this case, in the case of this book, the characters are very, very human. And the problem with humans is that their motives aren't always clear. And Lukyanenko doesn't tell us everything we need to know to judge them properly. With the exception of Anton, who's a first-person narrator, we don't get into their heads, so we can't completely understand why they do what they do. Now, in this volume, we are introduced to some new players, some grand plots, and some terrible secrets. There's an other out there who has knowledge that everyone thought was just a myth. How to turn an ordinary human into an other. Now, the ramifications of such power are immense. There are few others in the world as it is, and they hardly get along at all. To create new others at will would likely mean chaos, death, and destruction. All the others' forces are sent out to find this one mysterious person. The Night Watch, the Day Watch, even the Inquisition are in search of the impossible. Anton Gorodetsky, of course, is on the front lines of all of this, searching for leads in a Moscow apartment complex. What he finds there isn't quite the secret he thought it was, but it is something that he never expected. Now, in the second story of the volume, he meets with an ancient witch named Arina, who may have single-handedly destroyed the Soviet Union's potential for greatness. Mia, what have you done lately? In his search to defeat her, he learns the true nature of the others, what gives them their power, and how they truly interact with the world around them. And in the third story, the Fuaran has been found, which I'm probably mispronouncing. It's a mythological text with the spell to convert humans into others, and it will be used in a truly novel manner. But the other behind the plan that could tip the world into supernatural anarchy is the last person, of course, Anton would have ever expected. As with the other volumes, this one blurs that line between good and evil. It tells us what we already know, but don't really want to admit, that good people can do evil things. Start a bloody revolution, for example, or try to brainwash thousands of people. And evil people can do good things, save children from wolves, or avert some sort of chaotic and terrible future. People do things for reasons that are sometimes known only to themselves, not out of a higher allegiance to abstract concepts of good and evil, but for reasons that are intensely personal. And that really is something to be remembered, especially these days. We have this habit of idolizing and demonizing people in the world, just elevating them to be paragons of virtue or sin, and ascribing motives to them that we think they acted by. But that doesn't work. I mean, even to the end, Anton believes he knows why the holder of this magic book wants to convert people into others. He thinks it's to raise an army and control the world, but he is so very wrong. The true reason is much more personal and, oddly enough, much more human than that. And that's probably the best lesson to be taken from these books. Good and evil, these are tags that we affix to people because it saves us the effort of thinking about them and understanding them. Behind every act, however, is a very personal reason that defies such simplistic labeling. Every saint, every sinner, every monster is only human, just like us. Now, I don't know if knowing that makes the world better or worse, but it at least makes it a bit more familiar. So let me give you a quote. This comes from one of the several songs, I believe, that are scattered throughout the books, and it's a nice little lyric. The song goes, "We weren't meant to fly. All we can do is try not to fall." Ain't that the truth? And that's kind of a hard lesson, that whole thing about people just, you know, working from not evil motives or not good motives. It is something that's hard to accept. I just finished reading Speaker for the Dead by Orson Scott Card. It's the second of the Ender books, or not second, depending how you read them. But that message is also very, very similar, that once you understand someone well enough, you understand why they do what they do, you can't really hate them. You understand them. You may be scary, sure, but you're no longer able to affix a label of evil to this person. And the timing is rather coincidental with the guy in Norway. He went out, he systematically killed, 90 people. Evil would be a very, very good label to slap onto this guy, and a lot of people have already done it, but I think that by slapping that label of evil onto him and letting him go, metaphorically speaking, is too easy. I mean, we gotta look at this guy, we have to understand why he did what he did. Not to condone it, not to minimize it, but that could be us, you know? That could be any one of us one of these days, so you gotta be careful. Anyway, I'm rambling now. How did I get into rambling? I promised myself I wouldn't ramble. All right, next week, we are going to look at a little more fiction, because I like fiction. This is new fiction, and it is sort of the first wave of kind of the modern era of fiction, fantasy fiction authors. It's a bit fantasy, it's a little bit sci-fi, it's closer to steampunk than anything else, and it's written by truly one of the rising stars of the last 10 years or so. It's a very popular, very big, very thick book it's about a city. Let's just put it that way. It's about a city. So tell me what the book is, tell me what the author is, and you will win a dilapidated train station. Yeah, there we go. So I think that is about it. I got stuff to do. I have writing to do tonight. Like I said, I'm still doing my writing project. I'm up to day 66 today, I think, or 67. Writing a little bit of fiction every day. It's yearofstories.wordpress.com. Go check it out. Read what I've got. Not all of them are great, but some of them are good. And if you want to leave a comment, that would make my heart sing. So, otherwise, if you'd like to keep in touch, you can keep in touch. We got the Facebooks, we got the Twitters, we got the blog. You know what to do. So, thank you all very much for coming by. I do appreciate it, and I will talk to you all again next week. A text version of this review will be up on the blog, thelablib.org, along with any relevant links I can think of. If you have anything you want to say or any suggestions you'd like to make, please leave a comment and let me know. If you have a book you would like to recommend, I would be happy to hear it. If you'd like to send me an email, send it to labyrinthlibrary@gmail.com. And if you like what you hear, please give a review on iTunes, become a fan on Facebook, or follow LabLib on Twitter. This podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license, so feel free to share it, but please don't sell it or change it. The music is courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week. And until then, keep reading.